We are going to continue Perek Gimel Mishnah Vav. That it said there that even one person who sits and learns, the Shechina is there. And Rav Chaim Volozhin is being medayik the pasuk that we bring to prove that point. The pasuk we bring to prove the point is B'chol Makom Asher Azkir Es Shemi Avo Elecha Ve'Achticha. Anywhere where my name is mentioned, Hashem says, I will come bless you. So it doesn't say B'chol Makom Asher Tazkir Et Shemi, that you will mention my name. It says B'chol Makom Asher Azkir Et Shemi, that my name is mentioned by myself. Azkir is, I mention my name. So the point is to say that anytime you mention my name, Klal Yisrael, I will put my Shechina there. So why does he use the Lashon singular anytime that I mention my own name? So the first Pshat behind the Lashon said is because Hashem gives us the strength to mention his name. Even the fact that we can learn and we can daven is all coming from Hashem. So it's really the fact that I give you the koach to do that is really my own koach. Like even this that we can daven. Hashem sfatai tiftach. Hashem, help me daven. We can't even daven without Hashem. So, that's one pshat. Then he says another pshat is because if you mention my name, sometimes what the reason why a person would mention Hashem's name, or the reason why a person would daven or learn, is for their own motives. Again, shalom l'shma. So he's saying, B'chol makom asher azkir es shemi, if it's I'm mentioning my name, meaning to say the motivation behind mentioning my name is Hashem himself, is the Lashma, then he'll come. Now, that's the second pshat he says. Okay, now, then he says, V'omer, minayin afilu echad. How do you know that even one person learning by themselves brings the Shechina, not just 10 people? So B'chol makom asher here says something very important. He says, "Binyanei haTorah." When it comes to spiritual inyanim, especially Torah, "Moil meoid haKibbutz." Kibbutz, people gathering together, helps tremendously. Like we've mentioned elsewhere, "Bechem b'mitzvah." Ain't a day me'achanos even mitzvahs. If you're doing it in part of a group, it's much more powerful than when you're doing it by yourself. Ah, however, when you're doing in yonim of this world, it's the opposite. It's the opposite, meaning to say the more people doing it, the more powerful it is, but the worse off it is. Because the more people involved in something, the more, it carries it. It carries it. So therefore, in a way, when there's a group of people doing something together, so that has more strength the other way. So when you're involved in Ruchnius, you should do it with a group. When you're involved in Gashmius, you should do it yourself. That's his point. I remember I was listening to a whole shmooze of Rabbi Chaim Waxman. Now, Rabbi Chaim Waxman is very strong, and he's, so he was saying, what do people do today? Some women have to get together. So what do you, let's get together, go shopping. Get together, go shopping. Go get what you need, and that's it. We get together to go shopping. Became a whole, it's a whole social outing. Not a social outing. Go do what you got to do and come home, right? But you want to go, get a drink. Go shopping. So when a group getting together for Ruchnius is powerful. A group getting, but when you're doing your Gashmias, do that, keep to yourself. Do that, just do that to your, by yourself. That keep you in check. Okay. Okay, next. Rabbi Lazar Ish Bar Toisa Oimer. The next Mishnah, Paragimel Mishnah Zayin, says like this. Rabbi Lazar Ish Bar Toisa Oimer, Tein lo mishaloi. Give back to Hashem what's his. She'ata v'shalcha shaloi. Because you and him really belong to him. So, tein loy mishaloi. Give back to Hashem what's his. She'ata v'shalcha. Because you and what's yours, shaloi, is really his. So, Reb Chaim Volozhin explains, ha'adam ba'olam hazeh kilu hu shel atzmoi. Ha'inu ke'kadosh baruch hu yiniach b'yadei ha'bechira. Really, the reason why a person in this world feels that they're independent. Why is that? Why do they feel independent? Because they have a koach of bechira. What makes us feel, I got choices, I can do what I want. The more independent we are in our koach of bechira. Right? So he says, however, if a person does a lot of averis, he'll get very punished. Mikol Einshin, what's the greatest punishment that a person can get? What punishment did Paro receive? What's the greatest punishment a person can get is that you take away his bechira. He's no longer in his own rishus. He's barely human. What makes us human is our bechira. He's barely human at this point. So he says, Tain loy mishaloy. Give a Kadosh Baruch Hu what's back his. Why? She'ata vishalcha. You and what's yours belong to him. What do you mean you and what's yours? What's yours is your belongings. Hashem can take that away. What do you mean she'ata? You are also his. What do you mean you are his? It means your bechira is in the yad of Hashem. Hashem can take away even your bechira. So if you are not careful and you lead the way down a certain path, there comes a point when Hashem takes away your bechira.
Is this common practice?
No. Rambam says there was only three people in history.
Paro was one of them.
Paro was one of them. And Sancheir, there's one or two other cases, but it's not common. However, here's what my Rosh Hashiva said one time. To a certain degree, we all lose our Bechira at some point, but Hashem gives us a new koach, which is the Bechira to do tshuva. That means, take an addict, for example. An addict, if you ask him, and this is, you know, I spoke to someone in that's in rehab, you know, in a rehab in the business, and he agrees, same thing. An addict will argue with you or could tell you, and it could be true, they don't have bechira. Comes a point where they don't really have the choice that's in front of them. They can't use their seichel anymore to decide, should I or shouldn't I? They're addicted. That means that they can't anymore use their regular kalim, their regular, you know, devices that are set up to choose. They can't choose. They can't make that decision. So they're addicted. So does that mean it's the end? So no. But they have the koach of bechira to do tshuva. The koach bechira to change, that you never lose. The only thing is that on this particular battlefield, it could be I don't have bechira anymore, but I will always have the bechira to leave the battlefield and do tshuva. Okay, so Rabbi Yoina writes this. He says that there comes certain places where we're so far gone that we don't really have bechira anymore. We're trapped in our sins. We are so. So if we just want to attack it again, head on, right? Without doing tshuva, it could be, will for sure be unsuccessful. For example, let's say Lashon Hara. All right, this year, no Lashon Hara. I don't know if you have the bechira to do that. We are so ingrained and tangled in it that when it comes in front of you, a challenge of Lashon Hara, you almost lost your bechira on that. However, there's something called tshuva. That you didn't lose the koach of bechira. So you could decide, you know what? I want to change, and I don't want to have that challenge anymore in the same degree I used to. I want to change. I want to say it was wrong what I did. I want to say everything I did was wrong till now. I want to say that I'm going to do vidur. I have charot. I regret what I'm doing. There's a mechanism how to do tshuva, and the tshuva can get you out of that trap. But if you don't use the mechanism called tshuva, on the battlefield itself, it could be you're stuck without using tshuva. Which is a big chiddush, but there comes a point where we're too far gone. So the koach of b'tshuva we never lose. But that's what he's saying, Reb Chaim Volozhin. Unbelievable pshat. He says, "Tein loy mishaloy." Give back to Hashem what's his, which normally means tzedakah, you know, the money that you have is his. But he's saying more. Not just his money is his. Your whole koach of b'chira is his, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu could take it away. And that's what the Mishnah says. He says, if it only meant tzedakah, it would say, "Tein loy mishaloy." Give back to Hashem what's his, because what you own, shalcha, shalom, because what you own is his. It says, she'ata v'shalcha, shalom, because you and your belongings are his. What do you mean you and your belongings? You, your bechira, you, when I talk to you, I'm not talking to your beautiful faces and, you know, eyes and ears and nose. Just like I'm not talking to your shirt, right? When you're talking to a person, you're talking to their neshama. Right, like it always says, Rashi says, "Vayikach Korach." Korach took the people. So Rashi says, "How did he take them? Bidvarim." He took them with words. He convinced them. So I heard from every singer, he used to say, everyone says, what happened? Vayikach Korach. He took them. So why didn't he just say he picked them up and grabbed them? Because then he didn't take the person, he just took his body. What's the person? The person is his das. The person is your korach to choose. So vayikach korach, I convinced you. That means I took you. If I convinced you and I have your das, then I have you. If I just picked up your body and brought you somewhere, I don't have you. I have your body. Vayikach korach, if korach took them, it must be, Rashi saying, he took them with words. He convinced them, because that's the only way you could take someone. That's not called taking someone just by carrying them from one place to the other. Right? So that's what Vayikach korach means. Anyway, so he's saying the same thing. You are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's unbelievable pshat. You means your korach of bechira. Your korach to choose is under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Memela, he says, v'zeo sh'amru, asei ad sh'ata moitze, umotzu l'cha v'oi v'yadcha, v'zeo tein lo mishaloi, av sh'ata b'yad atzmacha, v'kom okoim, teida sh'memoincha mimenu balach. V'imlav, teida sh'ata gamkin shaloi. U'biyado, u'viyado ilimnoya hatoi v'imcha, v'lito gam oischa, and he could take from you, hainar b'chira shalcha, he could take away your b'chira as well. So that's how Rav Chaim Lajner explains over here. Explains over here this Mishnah. Okay. Okay. So let's just finish that Mishnah. Ki mimcha hakol ki mimcha hakol. Everything's from you. Umiyotcha nasnu lach. Shimon Omer hamahalik baderech v'shoyne umafsik. A person's walking in the way and he's mafsik. Mimishnasi stops learning. Omer man noer ilan ze uman noer near ze. Mala alav akosav ki ilu mischayv benafshoy. If a person stops learning in the middle to comment about how beautiful the surroundings are, then Ma'ala Lavakasov, the Pasuk says about him, it's as if he's Mishchayv B'Nafshay. That means that even, what this Mishnah is symbolizing to us is that even a person who wants to take stock of the world and see, wow, the greatness of Hashem in the Bria, really, that's not the best way to see the greatness of Hashem. The best way to see the greatness of Hashem is through learning. That the Rambam writes this as well. The Rambam says that there's two ways to see Hashem. One is through the world, science, and one is through Torah. And the way to see Hashem through Torah is much stronger. It's Thursday night, so I'm always allowed to say a few minutes extra. So, and no one's gonna, by next Sunday, I'm gonna forget that I went late. So, I'm gonna give you a mashal. I've said this over before, but I think it's very powerful. The difference between these two things, the difference between recognizing Hashem through Torah and recognizing Hashem through his actions, not just science, but his actions in the world, the way he takes care of us and the way he does things. So the way I give it is this mashal that there's a guy who gets a job to be a CEO of a company. And he wants to, he wants to learn from the best. So he decides he's going to train under this top CEO of, huge, huge company. And this guy's known to be successful. He's great with his employees. He's great with, business contacts. He's an unbelievable CEO. And this, so the new guy, the young guy wants to learn from him. So he wants to see how does he react, so he hangs around him for a year. And he sees him at every board meeting. He sees him how he reacts to his employees. He sees him in his business deals. He sees him in everything. He sees how he reacts and what he does here, what he does there. So he picks up the mahalach. And he picks up, okay, when this guy starts behaving like this, you behave like that. When this guy does this, you do that. So now he knows all the behaviors. But imagine there would be a tool that he doesn't have to figure it out by I saw the pattern. When you do this, you do that. He actually has a tool that can go into the CEO's brain. And before the CEO is actually doing anything, he actually goes into his brain to see what's the thought process. Instead of figuring it out on his own and figuring out the process, he goes into the brain of the CEO. And this way, every time something's going on, he's like, oh, that's really behind the scene. That's really what's going on. That's what's motivating him to do this. That's what's motivating him to do this. This is his strategy. This is where he's going. So, you know, as an apprentice, he's watching, he's figuring it out, and he's creating his own equation. But if there would be this machine that he could get into the brain and figure out exactly what's motivating him behind each move, it would be a whole different level, right? So it's the same thing. When we're trying to figure out, quote unquote, or understand the ways of Hashem, so we could look into the world and see, oh, wow, this is how Hashem deals with people. These are the stories of the Tanakh. This is the stories of Hashgacha Pratis. This is science. This is, you know, an orange, a tomato, unbelievable. You know, this, that, science, antibodies, the whole story, right? It's unbelievable, right? So you see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every little thing. But you're learning Torah, it's like you're getting to the brain, Kaviyachol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're getting into the thought process of Hashem. This is what He wants. What He's doing is what He's doing in the world. But what He wants is Torah. He revealed to us as much as we can in this world understand of what Hashem wants from us and what the motivation of creating the world and what's going on and what every scenario. Why is it that this guy lost money? You know why? Because he was chayiv. Because the Imam Baba Kama said he's chayiv if you do this. And why is this happening? Because the Chumash says like that. And the Torah gives us a much deeper level perspective of the motivation and the thought process, so to speak, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Mishnah says. If you stop learning to comment about a tree, you're missing the point. Because you think you're going to understand the Shem better from a tree. It's not true. You're going to understand the Shem better from learning.
But the language is very sharp, the criticism.
Yeah, it is.
It's you know.
Is pretty strong.
That's strong language.
Yeah, I
basically, it's like he stops his learning to take a time out and look at the beauty of the world or whatever.
Yeah, so what's pshat in that strong language? I'm not sure about that. Chaim Volozhin doesn't say pshat in this. It's a good question. I guess the point is that you're a little bit losing an opportunity for what you're here in this world for, kind of. You're here in the world to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you're throwing away the opportunity. So it's like, you know, you're not valuing your time here. I guess that's kind of the point. But yeah, it's true. I mean, my Rebbe, there's a story with one of the great Rabbanim that he went to take a trip to the Alps. And they asked him, why did you take a trip to the Alps? He says, because after 120 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask me, no, did you see my Alps? So he says, oh yeah, I want to be able to say yes. So later on, there was two gedolim. One was a big Baal Musar. I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Rabbi Sal Salanter. And they asked him that question. He said, no, I'm not going to the Alps. So he says, what's going to be if Hashem says, no, Rabbi Sal, did you see my Alps? I said, yeah, I did. I looked at my knuckles, you see? I could see the Alps right here. So I could see Hashem in my knuckles just as well as anyone as in the Alps. That was Rabbi Sal Salanter's answer. And my Rebbe, one of my Rebbe, Rabosha Arieli. Rabosha Arieli is a Yid. He never left Eretz Yisrael. He's Kaddish Vatar. I don't think he ever looked at anything other than a Gemara and a Chumash. Mamish. You know, he's Mamish and Ish, a Kaddish Vatar. And anyway, so they asked him, he never left Eretz Yisrael. So he said, "What, Rebbe, what are you going to answer when Hashem says, Nu, Asher, did you see my Alps?" So he says, no, of course not. I was busy learning. So he said, no, of course I didn't have time to see that. Sorry, I was too busy learning. But anyway, but what he's saying is that I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my learning. I don't have to see him there. Right? So that's really the depth of the Mishnah. All right? Okay, so that's the 5 minutes. Over time. But I guess we will see you all on Sunday, Be'ezras Hashem.
Thank you, Rabbi. Shabbat Shalom.